Holy shit. Welcome to Gem Hunt, y'all. This is our family horror movie podcast.
I'm Beth, and I'm a textile ophile, and I'm pretty sure I've never oiled my sister.
I'm a dumb shit.
That's dumb shit.
I'm also named Buggy.
Nice. My name is Cody, and I perpetually fail hemoglobin tests.
Damn.
We're the Dirt Dog family, and we review obscure, underseen, and possibly underrated horror films. We'll watch anything that has less than 5,000 votes on IMDb, just because that's what we do. It's officially September, but it's still hot as fuck up here in the Pacific Northwest, but the garden's going good.
We got tomatoes.
Whoop.
We got peppers.
What have we been up to? What have you guys been up to?
Oh, well, Cody and I went to Port Angeles and we went to the dump, and it is one of the most scenic places I've ever been in my life is the Port Angeles Municipal Waste. What is it, a landfill? It's the first time I've ever been to a landfill.
I believe it's a landfill.
I've only been to the transfer stations in the city. Anyway.
Oh, nice. Well, I went to San Francisco for like 3 days.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty cool. Big city experience. Rode the BART. Shout out BART. Yeah, it's expensive. It's windy. I like it there a lot, though. The architecture is cool. Lots of good coffee. I don't know. I'm tired, too. I walked a lot. It's easy to walk there.
It's easy to walk here.
It's okay. Another thing that keeps happening is anytime I compliment San Francisco,
I'm like,
this
Portland.
Woman over here keeps talking about Portland.
There's a lot to do in this city. There is. But I know what you mean. San Francisco feels realer.
Well, it's just a bigger city. It's more of like a city. I don't know. It also just like humbled me deeply. I was like, I am not a city girl. I'm a shitty girl. Like, this is.
You're a dumb shit.
You're a dumb shit.
Dumb shit. I am. That's what I said. But I still had a really good time. Ate a lot of good food. I was with Hannah, my best friend. Shout out her. And yeah, it was a good time. The hotel was cool too, but we paid for a view and there was no view. It was an alley.
Mm.
But
that is the view.
It is what it is.
You pay extra for a view of the alley in San Francisco.
It was amazing. We could see into other people's apartments.
Oh, that's a view.
It was super cool.
Rear window.
They could like really see into ours too. It was super chill. Yeah, they have cable too in the hotel. So that was pretty great.
Nice.
That's my review.
Ooh. It's like that movie, The Watcher, where she just looks across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Sees the weird
Did you watch that?
Guy.
It's like in Berlin or something.
No.
Pretty good.
That sounds good.
I ain't been doing much. I went to a movie by myself last week. I went to see Slither at the Clinton Street Theater, and it was great. That movie is gross and funny, and it still holds up. I recommend you go check it out if you've never seen it. But we've got a movie to talk about tonight. So fuck all that shit. We've got a doozy. This is Beth's movie. She picked it out.
Yep.
She might have had help. What are we watching?
We're watching The Mafu Cage, also called Deviation. Don't Ring the Doorbell, and My Sister, My Love. And yes, Whitney recommended it. I'm trying to keep going with things people recommend as long as I can find them.
Yeah.
And this was a hell of a film.
Hell yeah, it was. This was released in 1978. You didn't say that already, did you?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, 1978. So we're going back to the 70s with this one. It's directed by Karen Arthur. Karen Arthur's an interesting director. She is one of the first women to direct a horror film, other than a couple random old-ass things. I think in the modern age of horror, this is probably the first horror film directed by a woman.
Whoa.
And not only that, she was only the third woman to be granted membership in the Directors Guild of America. So, groundbreaker here.
Shout out her.
Yeah. This was written by Don Chastain, although Karen Arthur had seen a play in either Paris or London that she based this off of. What's it called?
Trois Étés Nuages. Not one of my languages.
What does that mean?
You and Your Clouds.
You and Your Clouds.
Which is kind of cool.
Huh, there was some reference to that, actually, in the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
We can talk about it more when we're like diving into it, but I remember something.
So Karen Arthur had already done a bunch of work plotting out the movie scene by scene, beat by beat, based on that play. So she just kind of handed off all that work to the screenwriter, and then he did the rest. But she did a lot of the upfront stuff. Interesting cast we got here. Carol Kane plays Sissy.
Carol Kane.
Hell of a performance. She was not quite a big star yet, although I think she may have done something right before this that kind of elevated her into stardom. And so this was kind of a weird one to do right after that. I wish I knew the name of what she had done right before this, but she was on her way up. Lee Grant plays Ellen. Will Greer plays Zom. And James Olsen plays David, and those are our main people. It's kind of a small cast, which makes sense if it was a play, right?
Yeah, it feels like a play. It's mm-hmm. kind of like set in one or two places, too, like a play. Or three, I guess, but yeah, small. Yeah, feels for small. Sure.
The music was done by a composer and jazz musician named Roger Kellaway, who had a few horror films in his resume. The Silent Scream, which is a weird movie, Evil Speak, and he worked on Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 70s one, which is good. He's worked on a bunch of other big stuff, too, like A Star is Born. An interesting thing I found, he worked as an arranger for Melanie on four albums.
Oh, I like Melanie.
We're a big fans of Melanie around the Dirt Dog House. There's some really cool art in this movie, some sketches, and then a mural you see towards the end that was done by Roger Landry. Not a lot of information about him out there. So those are our people that we're working with here. Where can you watch this? It's on Plex, but Plex has a really shitty transfer. I checked it out because I was going to refresh my memory. Kind of looks like garbage. We rented a DVD from Movie Madness. They only had the DVD there. There is a Blu-ray release of this that came out a handful of years ago, and that's available along with the DVD at the Scarecrow in Seattle, Washington. There's also a decent quality version on YouTube, and it's way better than Plex anyway. So let's talk about what this goddamn movie's about.
Okay. Take it away.
Woo! So this movie opens with Carol Kane in a hammock. And it's amazing, and her hair is amazing. But we find out there are two adult sisters, Sissy, that's Carol Kane, and her older sister, Ellen. They live together in this awesome mansion in L.A. Their father has died. We don't know how recently or how long ago he died. But so Ellen, the older sister, is taking care of Sissy. The girls grew up in Africa. Their dad was a prominent primatologist and studied apes. And so they grew up in Africa, and it seems like Sissy, the younger sister, still kind of is there in her mind. The living room where she sleeps in a hammock. There's plants everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then Ellen, the older sister, seems to be a little more grounded. She's involved in astronomy. She's like takes photographs of stars. So she's taking care of Sissy. And it becomes clear pretty early that Sissy needs some taking care of. Yeah, she's like hung up on Africa. She's kind of childlike. Part of her Africa thing is there's a cage in the living room that belonged to their dad because he was studying apes. And she keeps something in that cage, which she refers to as her mafu. And then we learn pretty early that the mafu is an ape and there's been more than one and they aren't living. They keep kind of dying somehow. They actually bury one. So part of Ellen's job is to supply Sissy with mafus, along with their family friend Zom, who is, I think he runs like a, some like a kind
sanctuary
of
sanctuary.
Yeah,
something.
Sanctuary. Yeah. Or like
but
a,
it seems like it might be kind of sketchy.
Yeah, I was going to say like
because
an
he gets to just loan out apes to people.
Yeah.
I think he like sells the like yeah. exotic animals and
maybe
shit.
It's, you know, sort of like a Tiger King situation.
Oh, he's a Tiger King. Ape no. King.
And she's like really threatening people to get her mafu.
She
too.
Really
she's
needs
like
a mafu.
Very.
Not without my mafu.
Hell-bent on that.
So they get her one and it dies. Well, I'm just going to say she kills it. So then they're like, no, no more mafus. And once that, and also Ellen is kind of in a romantic relationship with one of her coworkers, David, who I think looks like Putin.
Oh, not kinda.
Okay, she is, but she's kind of resistant because of what's going on with her and Sissy. So they put their foot down and they're like, no, we're not getting you a Mafu. And then from there, it just goes nuts because Sissy needs a Mafu and she'll stop at no, you know,
she will not take no for an answer.
She'll hurt herself. She'll hurt others. Also, the sisters are in a some sort of incestuous relationship. So basically, no more Mafus. Then it goes wild. She's going to like...
Yeah.
Take whatever she wants as her Mafu. And that is her vibe. That's the vibes.
That is what happened. So this is, before we get into some of the minute details of the actual film, I wanted to bring up a fun little subgenre that I believe this belongs to, which is the psychotic women horror genre.
Woo!
Which is an official horror subgenre out there. People talk about it all the time. I'm just going to rattle off a few to see if this just fits in with its counterparts. We got Carrie, mm-hmm. Repulsion,
mm-hmm.
The Entity, The Witch Who Came from the Sea, which is an amazing movie if you haven't seen it. I actually saw this brought up in one of the reviews of The Mafu Cage that I
read.
Also
involves incest.
Also involves incest.
Mm-hmm.
Possession. Mm-hmm. Serial Mom.
Aww.
Misery. Butch Baker, Nightmare Maker. If you haven't seen that, that's kind of a fun one.
That one's fucked up, though. That one makes me uncomfortable.
Nice. I'm glad you've seen it.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? You think it fits in with those that I listed off? Is this officially an entry in the psychotic women horror genre?
Yes, but also it's like a mental illness thing. I guess all of those have an element of that, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's like sort of a supernatural element, mm-hmm. and it's a matter of the other characters thinking a woman's crazy because she's having a supernatural experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's...
But in this case, and some of the others on the list, there's some actual instability there.
Yeah. There's always like also kind of, well, not always, that's a huge generalization, but like they're either, like this woman going through a real supernatural event being sort of... having that sort of diminished or like made to seem not as serious or whatever. And then there's also like a weird, like sort of, I feel like family drama thing going on a lot of the time with the like crazy woman genre, basically.
Which this has that.
That has that for sure. Like Butcher Baker, Nightmare Maker, whatever. That movie is a lot of family stuff going on. And a lot of violence against men, which I'm, you know, I don't want to say I'm in support of, but maybe it's refreshing.
No.
It's refreshing to see in a horror movie, maybe something a little different.
Oh, right. Then like the girl in her underwear being chased.
Yeah, but I'm not pro, but I am in the sense of I like to watch violence on screen. So I'm sorry. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be, don't put me on a watch list, but like at the same time.
Speaking of psychotic women.
That's, I belong there.
Put her in the cage.
Oh, no, not the cage, bro.
Don't do that. Nothing good happens in the cage.
No, bro.
Yes,
I might be a dumb shit, but I'm not going in that cage.
Dumb shit.
Okay, so this is a doozy of a film. There's a lot of different stuff we could talk about. I think maybe let's start with the obsession with Sissy's obsession with her father in Africa, mm-hmm. because I think that's a catalyst for what's going on here.
For sure.
So Beth mentioned that this is taking place after the passing of Ellen and Sissy's father, who was an ape researcher in Africa. And Sissy is obsessed with her dad and carrying on his work.
Mm-hmm.
She even has sort of a shrine to him mm-hmm. in her room. And it's one of the only things she talks about. But as we delve into the film, it seems like there is some trauma related to this relationship, potentially. What mm-hmm. was your take on that?
Well, I think we all kind of reached the same conclusion, like, especially in our notes, too. Like, I wrote, what did her dad do to her? Mm-hmm. In all caps, because I was like, this relationship dynamic feels strange. And she has, like, this hyperfixation on what she calls finishing her father's work, which to me is also intriguing because I don't like exactly know what she means by that. And also considering like her and Ellen's behavior, they're very sort of not conventional in the way they, to say the least, to be generous to them.
They have a sexual relationship.
They have a sex. But they also just, I would say, like, Ellen is a lot more, like, stable. I also think it's because she's older. And they, you know, they had gone to Africa for a long time. But I also think, like, Ellen and Sissy had, like, you know, been other places. Like, they mentioned being there for, like, 3 years or something. And maybe it was, like, a reoccurring thing. But it seemed like Ellen acclimated to, you know, like, a comfortable life after, like, her dad passed and all that, where Sissy was just not. She was not feeling that.
Well, they obviously had a mother, too, and they reference her a little bit. Like, I feel like Sissy says you're, like, you're more like mom or something. And yeah, there's a shrine to the dad. There's, like, a photograph of him. The continuing the work, one of the things Sissy does is draw. The drawings that are in the movie are supposedly hers. She's studying these different apes and, like, drawing them and studying their behavior.
That's, like, her work.
But it seems like the dad relationship is not some healthy, like, you know.
It feels manipulative.
My mentor or something. And maybe they were just super isolated when they were in Africa. I don't know.
It seems manipulative, just, like, considering the fact also that Ellen talks about, like, making a promise to her dad. Regarding
to take care of Sissy and not
like let her go to like an institution or anything like that. And also based off of like what we know about the mom, like this is like me just making my own assumption, but it seems like they carry a lot of resentment towards their mom, especially Sissy. And I would wonder if like maybe their father is manipulative and also like sort of isolated them from other people as well, because the mom left and wanted to, you know, like have them be on his side.
Or maybe they each took one kid for a while or something, and that's part of it.
Yeah, maybe that's why Ellen's a little bit more, because Ellen doesn't seem to have the same, like, level of resentment towards her mother.
And one difference between the sisters that I think this is an okay time to get into is, so, first of all, the clothes, the costumes in this movie are incredible, and there's just these incredible textiles and patterns, but I noticed, and maybe this is just me, that they have, their clothes are really indicative of their two different, like, who they're trying to be. Like, Sissy wears all these flowing kind of African print type things, and Ellen wears, like, and even, like, her bedspread and everything is very kind of, like, English rose or something. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. They have, the way they dress is, like, I am this character, you are that character, and it's not just, it's, like, pretty intricate patterns they both have that are, I don't know, I thought that was kind of cool. It's, like, that's part of each character's the different pattern textiles.
Yeah, it was an interesting way to set their personalities apart visually, because they are clearly quite different. Ellen is a professional astronomer.
Yeah. Well, and I think I saw that it's like she's an astronomical photographer.
Yeah, ooh. They reference the photos that they've been taking.
Because there's some telescope or something, and that's what she and her coworker are working on.
Yeah, and it's, like, important, too, because she's going to move to, like, Arizona or something to, like, I think, I don't know if it's an anomaly or what it is, but it's, like, something that they've been, like, following and studying for a while. And that's, like, sort of her chance at living a more normal, stable life. Away from, like, the house and Sissy and her, like, really bizarre behavior.
And that's part of the thing is, yeah, it's, like, Ellen isn't normal either.
She tries to be.
Yeah. There's some Grey Gardens-ness to it. There's some whatever happened to Baby Jane-ness to it. Ellen is, like, outward, able to function in the world, but she's also fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some interesting conversations between them. And I think it's Ellen that first brings it up. She says something about just wanting to be normal. And then Sissy clearly can't really grasp her sense or perspective of reality, which is fascinating.
I mean, Sissy's busy, like, murdering apes and wiping their blood all over her face and
shit. She says, like, she doesn't want to be normal. Like, that's not the life she wants to live. She's, like, very clear about that.
You helped me.
I will.
Because I'm sick.
No, no, I don't. I look at
because I love you, because I want you to be normal, because I want you to grow up and I want you to have a wonderful life.
What does that mean?
What does what mean?
No!
Well, normal is to be like everybody else. That's normal, to be like me, to be like Zom. To be normal, that's all.
I don't want that.
Well, you brought up ape murdering, so let's get into this, because...
Unfortunate.
You know, I think it sort of alludes to what's coming. We don't know it's an ape at first, like you mentioned, but the first ape that dies, we don't see it die, but Ellen comes home. She gets the sense that something has gone wrong. Sissy's being weird, and you could just tell by the look on her face that Ellen knows that she... killed another ape.
And she's like, you don't need to go in the room.
Yeah,
and
wait
the
till
room,
tomorrow.
No, you don't need to go up there. And the room is where the cage, so there's this cage. It's the Mafu cage in the center. It's like, you know, the cage their dad used, which is kind of weird to me because I'm like, did they ship it from Africa or did he like work in LA and
maybe
in
built
Africa?
It. Yeah,
he built it because he got sick.
So he had to come home and continue his work.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
good call.
Yes,
I forgot
you're
about
right,
that
you're
detail.
Right.
Yeah, no, he got sick and he wanted to, like, continue his research from home. That's why he made the cage.
So that was the first thing that happens regarding apes. And then they drag that corpse down to the pet cemetery, and that's where we learn that there have been many other Mafus before this Mafu.
It's covered. You can't really tell what it is, but then you get... out to where they're burying it behind the house or whatever, and they're like multiple grave stones, headstones, whatever, little crosses that say Mafu.
So after some sort of manipulative efforts to get a new Mafu, Ellen, with the help of Zom, finally cave, and they bring Sissy an orangutan, which has some kind of weird, like, costume on. Like,
which, by the way, no, I think it's a chimp with orangutan hair, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it looked like to you?
I honestly was, like, not paying too close attention to that. Like,
I want to watch apes get tortured.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I'm kind of scared of apes, to say the least. I'm, like, scared. But watching them get tortured, it made me sad.
I don't know. I don't think it said anything about no animals being harmed because it's from 1978. I don't know. But it you don't, like, actually see an actual ape get beaten. It's like you hear sounds, you see the aftermath, right? Like, it's pretty bad, though.
There is that one intense scene with the orangutan. Yeah. You don't, like, see it fully, but it's, like, a long scene of that.
They do enough to make you feel it, though.
And it's sad. It's just sad in general because it's just, like, this being didn't ask for any of this, and it's weird. Also, like, Sissy's weird with the apes too. Like, she makes out with the orangutan a little bit.
Yeah,
they're like
she drinks
sharing wine together.
Oh yeah, they have like a romantic interlude where they have a picnic with
but
wine.
But then she keeps like it. Just also irritated me because obviously she's insane, so it doesn't have to make sense. But her being like fucking around with the ape and then being like it's time to work, Mafu, like made me so mad. She would like fuck around with the ape and then be like, no more fun and games. We have to, like, do our work now.
But also, here's the catalyst for where she goes ape on the ape. Sorry. But bum. No, the whole thing is it touches her and she's like, get your hands off me.
Yeah.
So this is what kind of makes us think that maybe daddy did something.
Mm-hmm. Or I think he touches her. I don't know. But touches her and then also like grabs one of the dad's things.
That's right. That is that he touches something that belonged to her dad, like a statue or something.
Yeah, because that does become a problem 100% with the touching thing. But I think he like grabbed something off of the altar and was holding it. That was like the first thing. But then you might be right. I don't remember what happened to make her like.
She says,
it.
"Get your hands." So this is the thing too. Is I think what feels like the replaying of a trauma is that it's like what you're saying. It's like she's like, ha ha ha, we're like having fun. You quit right now. The way that you imagine like abusive parents are like, you know, we're doing this. And then suddenly something triggers them and then the whole interaction changes and the kid is or the ape is just like, I don't know the rules for this. And also she calls the ape a dumb shit a lot.
She calls a lot of things.
Dumb shit is like one of her, which I like that. That it's I'm like, pro.
Don't turn your back on me, dumb shit!
Don't fall on me! Dumb shit!
Dumb shit! You dumb shit!
trying to remember though, because the orangutan lasts for a little bit, and then she like, yeah, she loses her shit, and it's right before Ellen's leaving for a like big trip.
Right. So Ellen is gonna try and go do this thing. She's gonna work, do this job where she leaves, and Zom is gonna check on Sissy, and Ellen's gonna have her own life, and they're gonna be like normal adults, and that's what's gonna happen. And she's not gonna get another Mafu because she keeps fucking killed the
orangutan.
Them.
She killed the orangutan, like just like lost her mind. And
I think it's also, isn't there a there's a conversation between Zom and Ellen that's like, okay, we're not gonna institutionalize her, but. Right? Isn't that kind of like, here's your
Ellen
chance.
Doesn't want to do any kind of interventions. No medication, no institution, nothing really.
You know what I mean. Sissy needs help.
Sam, don't start that again. It was an accident, really.
So was the last time, the time before that.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, yes, of course you don't. You don't want to talk about it. You prefer to believe that everything's normal. Perfectly normal, but it isn't, and you know it. Admit it.
What do you suggest I do?
I want you to take Sissy to see a good psychiatrist.
No. Daddy and I discussed it many times when he was sick. He made me promise that I would always take care of Sissy, and I will. As long as I live, Sissy will never be put away and drugged and left alone.
So it's like if Sissy can pass this test, then we won't have to put her in a
It ends up like being like, obviously this isn't going to get better. And as much as Ellen tries to ignore it, especially after like, because they really emphasize too with like the last Mafu, they're like, you need to take care of this. You need to not hurt this ape. Like you need to treat this well. And she doesn't, obviously. And they just decide, like, since Ellen has to leave for like her big astronomy or whatever, like, thing, her like convention or whatever, she has to go for like 3 days. They're like, if we can check on her and make sure she doesn't like lose her mind, maybe we can just.
Is that it? 3 days? I thought she was like taking a job that.
It was gonna be like she takes a job in Arizona, but she was only gone for like a couple of days. And she'd like done that before, but it was like she was gonna be gone for a couple of days specifically for this, like submitting this photograph or something, I think, of like the anomaly or whatever. And it's like their big test is to see like, can Sissy kind of get her shit together or like acclimate? And oh boy, can she not.
She cannot.
Really can't.
It really hits the fan.
Well, because she's growing more paranoia too, because she had overheard earlier a conversation between Ellen and Zom where Zom was like, you know something's wrong with your sister and you can't like keep living this way. And Ellen mentions the man, too, that she's into.
The man.
And that kind of adds the man. And that kind of adds a lot of, like, tension and paranoia to Sissy's character. Like, after that, you can also tell, like, the wheels are turning in her brain. And they're not turning in a good way. Like, she's thinking of schemes, of plots. And she's really paranoid that their, like, big scheme is to get rid of her, essentially.
Yeah, and I have this quote from it, which Sissy said, which is, there's no room in her life for anyone but me.
Mm-hmm.
So as that other relationship develops, she starts to be paranoid, freak out,
which adds like
get wilder,
makes it way worse when Ellen goes on her trip, because she's already like, Sissy's already paranoid and on to their like scheme kind of, but it doesn't seem like pleasant to her. She thinks they're gonna like, they're out to get her basically.
And what also makes it worse is Sissy and Ellen's strange relationship.
Yes, we talked a little. Yeah. There is incest. There is oiling.
It gets weird. Yeah.
This massage. Is the second erotic massage in the history of Gem Hunt. We've had two erotic massages
so
far.
What
was
the other one? Oh, yeah.
Dangerous Games. Deadly Games.
Yeah.
Fatal Games?
Fatal Games.
We'll get there eventually.
Something like that.
Oh, where it's like the nurse.
We all peeped that. We were like,
that
this
was
is
a weird
massage.
Which
also,
too.
With later context, that is so fucking weird.
Yep,
like,
definitely.
Unrelated, sorry.
But that is sort of the foreshadowing where, you know, Sissy's giving Ellen a massage.
With oil.
It's oily.
to clarify.
Yeah.
I know, but that is different than giving your sister like a back rub or a shoulder rub.
No, it's like skin to skin.
It's, yeah.
And so it's oily. I think everyone watching it, at least we, were wondering what the hell is the deal with this. Are they in some kind of relationship? But they don't give that away until later when it becomes quite obvious that, yes, they are doing some shit.
Some weird stuff. I remember too, I like wrote it all down when it was happening. I literally said, okay, they do fuck like a lot. I was like, because I was like, there's no way this is normal. And it was like right after Ellen was really getting into her like man, you know, like whatever his name is, the Damon. Guy you think looks like Putin.
Putin.
David Putin. Like Sissy, because also at this point, Sissy's like just going downhill from there. And she's like in Ellen's bed and she makes a comment about like some of the stuff they used to do. And it's all weird. It also like alludes and makes it more disturbing to me the way Ellen cries after like, you know, boinking her man in the observatory. And she cries and she says, it's been so long since I felt the touch of a man. And then in the context later, I was like, that's so nasty. Like, that's gnar-gnar. That is very gnarly, bro. That was gnarly.
Some gnar-gnar incest.
That was icky.
So I'm going to file this movie under the subgenre incestual monkey torture porn.
Incestual.
Along with the other 100 in there.
Torture porn. Yeah.
I think it fits there. Let's talk about racism. You guys like racism? I'm into it.
Mante.
This seems to keep coming up, you know, with these 70s movies and all these movies, unfortunately.
And things people thought. Well, okay, so this one. The treatment of African people and culture is better than you'd expect. It's respectful. They have a dinner and they talk about the way people did things, and it seems more like there's sort of a like an awe for cultural traditions in Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there is like some blackface or ish.
It does seem to be like it's not like leaning in too hard to like anything, you know, just like misinformed. Like, it's not trying to, you know,
it's like they grew up there. Sissy still wants to be there and she wants to live that way.
Like, because it's too easy to just like talk about Africa based off of stereotypes.
And they don't pin incest on Africa.
They do talk about the pygmies a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't think it was like weird or anything. Like, they again weren't being like, were they? I don't remember. They made some comments about the pygmies because they were talking about a conflict that was occurring.
Yeah, and it, so before Sissy does like smear her face with clay and or blood, and it does appear to, it's like war paint blackface kind of before she murders. So there is some sort of like, is that like a symbolism thing about like white good, black bad, you know, all that kind of old school like, but it's not overtly racist.
I also just like don't feel like I'm equipped to like decide. I know, that's like how I'm feeling about
There's definitely cultural appropriation.
That's what I would say it more.
But
is,
this
yeah.
is,
but yes,
being again. Done by a character who's emotionally stunted, who sort of is mentally trapped in a certain time and place. Mm-hmm. So it's not super cut and dry. It's not just someone that's 100% aware of what they're doing. Or just uncaring of what they're doing.
Plus, it's not like Africa bad, America good.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's not like her character's good or like it's trying to be like, this is fine. You know, this is normal behavior for a person or whatever. It's just, I don't know. Like, sometimes it just feels weird regardless. But
nothing
like overtly was said, I don't think. But I just always like wonder like how much of this is leaning into like, you know, like savage territory. Do you know what I mean?
Or yes,
like this
is just like
that's like my concern. I was trying to find the right words, but like
in Baba Yaga too, where it's like act like a set. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like where it's like this sort of concept of like Africa just not really being developed, you know?
It's the dark continent.
Exactly.
Whatever, yeah.
Which is just like not true at all. Like that's my only comment is just if that was sort of adding to that, but I don't really know, and I don't think I'm the like best judge of that either, but that I guess would be my critique of it.
Yeah, for a 1970s movie dealing with Africa, it doesn't feel like super bad, but also yes, as a white person sitting here now in this, I don't know.
So one interesting detail, and this is specifically in regard to the blackface scene, which I was convinced was blackface when I first saw it. I know there was some debate about, oh, is that blood or is it some kind of war paint? And I think I saw this in one of the articles and did a little bit of digging. So the Himba culture in Namibia wear this paste on their skin and in their hair that's a mix of a crushed red rock called okra and butterfat. And it's sort of their makeup, but then there's also some health properties to it.
Okay.
And I think that's what she was doing, but the timing of the scene before she does a murder is the problematic piece, kind of.
Because it's like she puts on the costume of, I'm this, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of talking about, too. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean exactly? Like, she's putting on her war paint and getting ready for what? Do you know what I mean?
And so maybe it's just that she's having like a regression episode where it's like, if she used to dress up as a baby doll when she was 7 and kill people, she would dress up like a baby doll. But like what she's childhood. Doing is put on that mud because that's where she grew up.
Reverting to, like, I think the place like she wants to be, honestly, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's interesting.
What else you want to talk about?
God, I don't know. I just think it was a really interesting movie with a lot of... We were saying earlier, is it a feminist movie? I don't know. No. But it's
not.
Yeah,
that's a good question. Yeah.
I mean,
it's
like,
not,
what do you mean?
Not a feminist
movie. I don't think it like has anything to do with
I don't either. It just
feminism.
Happens to be, but it happens to be two women as the main characters at a time where you don't necessarily get a lot of that. There's a love interest, but it's like their relationship is the story.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's a fucked up relationship. So it's not like, here, two healthy women it done.
Yeah, that's also like a common thing. Like you mentioned, like whatever happened to Baby Jane and mm-hmm. shit like that. Like, that's a thing you see. You know, there's a lot of like, especially in horror, I feel like a lot of central characters that are women. Like also like villains, too. There are a lot of like villainous women in horror movies.
Yeah, powerful women in horror movies generally are villains, right? Or I mean, at least that's I know my other question is it a horror movie?
I would say I was horrified.
Yeah.
So
I think so. It took me a while to get there, but I think once you get to the end and there's sort of almost like a slasher escape sequence,
mm-hmm.
some of the just horrific material that we're experiencing throughout the viewing of the film definitely is laying the groundwork for something horrific. And it's a slow burn. It's a slow moving sort of psychological film. But I don't think it's just a thriller or a dark drama or something. I think it leans horror. I think it fits.
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I think the end really puts a punctuation mark on it where it's like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
We're tipping the scales.
There's a murderous villain. There's a pursuit. There's nothing supernatural, but it doesn't have to be
supernatural.
There doesn't
have
to be.
But I mean, that fucking... The ape murder is brutal, man.
Yeah.
It's one of the most brutal things.
It's
even though you don't see specifically what's happening, there's enough there to visualize it, and it's rough.
It sucks.
I really hope no apes were hurt. I bet it was, I mean, it obviously the ape didn't die.
No, I mean,
and you never
also
see
the ape
hit.
Is listed in the cast on
IMDb. Oh, that's
IMDb.
Right. Because it's a chimp, right? But I think
I don't
it
know.
Says it's an orangutan.
It's an orangutan.
But why? It looks
I don't know.
I bet they use both.
Or maybe also, you know, that, like, orangutan was having a bad day, you know,
and
its
like
hair
him.
Was bad, you know, maybe that's what was going on.
It just
on.
Looked like a chimp with a full body wig. So maybe it's like chimps can do more, take more direction or something.
I don't maybe. Know. That's probably possible.
Because usually monkeys that were actors,
yeah.
Sorry, apes, not monkeys, are chimps usually.
So I have a question. Is Carol Kane always crazy?
Did you read that? There's a recent New York Times article about her because she's
I don't know how to read.
It's a Carol Kane-essance.
Hmm.
Which, well, many of us have always loved her.
I guess I just haven't seen enough of her movies, but I feel like when I do see her in a movie, she's kind of whacked out.
Yeah, I've seen her in When a Stranger Calls, and she's pretty normal in that movie.
That's true.
Hannah and her sisters.
Also, I mean, she's an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and she is not normal in that show at all.
No, but I mean, I think she's got that voice that she can do a lot of stuff. And obviously, like, Taxi is one of the first places she sort of got famous being that character that is, like, doing the funny accent with Andy Kaufman. She can do a lot of stuff with her voice. I think she's done a lot of stuff. I think we just probably happen to watch weirder things where she's I don't know, though.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in, like, a lot of stuff, honestly, except for the things I mentioned.
Yeah,
but I think... she has been in a lot of films. I was looking.
She's cool.
And yeah, I like her face.
Her hair in this movie is fucking incredible. Really
Yeah, the movie looks really cool. We haven't talked about how the movie looks, but the set design in the house is really neat. Apparently, Karen Arthur managed to talk some people that own this mansion into letting her use it for free to shoot this. They shot it over the course of 5 weeks. Flippity floppity.
Hey, puppy.
And she managed to borrow a bunch of actual artifacts from museums.
I saw that because maybe the set, someone who worked on the movie worked at or for a museum. And so he was able to like use some of his sway. And that's one thing too. It's like kind of small. Like it feels like a play. There aren't many sets. So all the sets there are pretty incredible.
They're
like
cool, yeah.
The way, the plants, the.
There's a lot of really cool music that is used as a device, actually, when she's trying to cover up sounds. She, like, blasts this sort of tribal African
she's
music
like
over
blasting
her
African
reel-to-reel
music.
Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw that I think, what's the guy's name? One of the musicians on this, Jules Chaykin. He's like a trumpet player that's in the band in the Star Wars movie.
Oh,
like original,
funny.
Like at the...
Oh, at the club.
Yeah,
he's one of those
and
aliens.
He's some real well-known, but he was one of the musicians on this.
Well, he's well-known to me. I love
he's
those
well-known
musicians.
To nerds.
Yeah. So as we were talking about earlier before we started recording, this is really an independent film.
Mm-hmm.
You really had to scratch this thing together. Scrape it together, whatever you want to say. She found some guy that had no real involvement in film to finance it. It cost about $1 million. And this dude ended up getting blown up by his ex-wife with a pipe bomb in the 90s.
The guy who financed it.
Interesting random fact.
Crazy
fact,
going
but
out
also, yeah,
bang.
But also I think what I read, and I don't know if this is what you read too, is that I think they were trying to go through more like traditional channels and she wasn't going to have the amount of creative control. And that's why... it became a sort of like, okay, we're going to do this ourselves. It's an independent movie.
Yeah. Which is interesting. And she only made 3 full-length feature films before she was like, fuck this. It's too hard to try to get these interesting movies made. I'm just going to go work in TV.
She was, yeah.
And she had a long career in TV.
She was an actor and a dancer before.
Oh, that's cool,
too. I also saw in one of the, you might have read this, too, that somebody who encouraged her was Penelope Spheeres.
I saw that. Yeah, that was the whole reason I sent that one article.
Yeah.
Decline of Western Civilization.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, yes, of course. I would say this movie is murderous material made by a mad woman.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's right up my alley.
Yeah. So
it's not.
This is a cool entry in the horror films directed by women category. And I was kind of looking back through the history. It's becoming more common and even celebrated, I think, now, especially sort of like post-2000s, even maybe post-2010.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really cool female voices in the horror genre. But before the 90s, it was pretty few and far between. I was kind of looking back. Some examples, Humanoids from the Deep, directed by Barbara Peters in 1980.
No fucking way.
Yeah, boy.
And she was really mad. Apparently, some dude came in and tinkered with that movie and like made it more
sexy
or whatever.
Is that what, like, booby?
Because that's why I was shook. I was like, no way, some lady. I kind of love that.
Yeah,
but no,
I think it's probably because like some dude fucked with it. Slumber Party Massacre, Amy Holden Jones, 1982.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That makes sense to me, though.
Pet Sematary was directed by Mary Lambert. The classic sort of back to found footage Ghost Watch was directed by Leslie Manning in 1992. Those are kind of the big examples from that period. But in the 70s, this is really one of the first horror films directed by a woman. fascinating.
One other thing I think we should say is, you know, we're Carol Kane, but Lee Grant is pretty awesome too.
Yeah, Lee Grant was really good.
She's in what? The Omen or Damien or yeah. One of them.
She's in Damien.
What's it called?
The Omen.
Yeah.
You're right, girl.
She plays Damien.
She plays Damien in The Omen. Well,
that's what the second one was called, really, right?
That's what she was in, right?
But, I don't remember.
Anyway,
she might be the mom in the first one.
She's been in a few horror films.
She was great in this movie, too. She was a straight man, but that it wouldn't have worked. They both were great.
Yeah.
She's a straight man?
She's a straight
She played
male,
a straight man.
Playing a woman. So in addition to blackface, there's woman face.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay.
The dog's about to lose it.
That's an interesting analysis. I wish I would have saved my Kids in the Hall monkey audio clip for this episode instead of burning it on Baba Yaga, but oh well.
We can do a callback.
Yeah, we could do a callback.
Monkeys are loose. Full of beans, sounds like to me. I let them loose. I mean, out of their cages. But I keep them in there, locked up in that room.
Do we want to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody got any burning thoughts?
I love the clothes. I love the hair. I love the sets. I don't like monkey torture. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. It was a little slow, but in a way that was like a tension-building thing. Yeah, I don't know about monkey torture and blackface, but I don't even know if it was blackface. Yeah, that's what I have to say.
I liked the outfits and sets too a lot. I like the way older movies sound. I don't know why their like sounds are more crisp to me. I appreciate it. And I honestly thought like everyone acted really good too. Carol Kane irritated the shit out of me, but that was like her character, so I appreciated that. And again, her outfits were absolutely fabulous in this movie. Wasn't a big fan of the, you know, sensual sisters thing. or the orangutan murder, but I guess sacrifices must be made for disturbing films, right?
It's part of the story, though.
Yeah,
too, that, right?
It's important. Like, it's like, it's not like without reason or anything.
So I didn't know how I felt throughout this. In some ways, I was enamored by it, and I loved the way it looked. I loved the bizarro feeling of this whole movie. I really like these 70s sort of arty, abstract horror films. I can always kind of get into that. But then some of the stuff was so rough, like the ape stuff. I just didn't know how to feel about it. But there was a lot I liked about it as well. The performances were amazing. Overall, I just love how this film was able to get financed and put together with limited resources in an era where that maybe wasn't so easy to do. So I think that was pretty cool. Let's talk about some businesses.
Business.
Y'all want to hear what an obscurity rating on this thing looks like?
Hell yeah.
As I'm realizing that my whole criteria rating system might be so wonky that I want to revise it, but whatever. That's a discussion for another day. IMDb votes 727.
Wow, that's not a lot.
That's a little bit. There's 37 critic reviews, 2 Rotten Tomato reviews. This is only streaming officially one place, as I mentioned, on Plex, if you don't consider the YouTube option, which I'm starting to rethink that too, but we'll come back to that. And as I mentioned, there is a new Blu-ray release, and it was released on DVD. So all of those added up with our special super scientific secret calculation machine, obscurity rating 8.
Wow.
I think that may be the highest one yet.
I think it is.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. I've read somewhere that this is sort of considered either a lost classic or a recently discovered classic horror film.
I also saw there's a Reddit thread about it that literally says, hidden horror gem, which I had not seen, you know.
That's what we do.
It was just recommended to me. I did not. It's not our Mafu is losing it.
By the way, the fourth member of the podcast is like
losing it.
Just lost his mind as per usual.
We can't have one episode without this guy.
It's consistent that this happens also like when we do a podcast.
Yes.
That's his thing. Also, we didn't coin the term gem.
No.
That's why we have a right to do our thing.
That's where it came from, but it's just interesting that it literally, like, when I was reading articles about this, a Reddit thing came up that it was like, the Mafu Cage, hidden horror gem. And I was like, oh, that's funny.
We're allowed to use that.
Oh, of course we are. We're allowed to do... whatever we want. You can't tell me what to do.
Okay, you guys want to. You guys want to vote on whether or not this is a hidden horror gem?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll do the thing. Thumbs up, thumbs down on the count of fucking three.
Okay.
Three, two, one. Holy moly.
Albert. Four.
Let the record show that we got another 100% thumbs up across the board. I don't know if we're just getting lucky or if our tastes are changing or what, but I feel like we're on a run of, what, three in a row, 100%?
I'm sure there'll be some barrel scraping coming soon.
I hope so.
The bottom shall be scraped. I've
got some barrels waiting in the cellar.
Speaking of the barrel, is there a movie to announce?
Albert.
So, here's what I wanted to announce. This here, what we're recording right now, is episode 9, which means our next episode is episode 10. Can you believe it?
Nope.
No way.
Did you ever think that we'd actually record 10 whole episodes?
10 years of our lives.
I guess we haven't actually made it to 10, so I guess it could not happen.
Yeah, something
can happen. However, if we do make it there, to mark the occasion, I want to do something unprecedented that's going to piss everyone off. We're going to do a double feature.
Dun, dun, no! dun. I'm pissed off. You dumb shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, Albert wants to do it.
Albert.
So what we're going to do is we're going to watch the film Reverb from 2008. And the film Decoder from 1984. It's going to be a rock and roll double feature.
It sounds like a computer double
feature.
At the very least, a music theme double feature. Oh. There's both some there's some music components.
The man who hates musicals.
And they're not musicals.
Oh, okay.
They just have musical themes. And if we're lucky, maybe at least one of these will be our first official three turd. Thumbs down turd.
Maybe if we're lucky
unfurl a turd,
Albert. Stop.
But once we get to 10, thank you to all of our devoted listeners who are basically just our friends. I want to start promoting this thing. If you have any ideas about how we could promote it, let us know. You can email us at jimhuntpodcast@gmail.com. you can interact with us at dirtdogcinema.com or dirtdog@Instagram
yes,
or whatever the fuck
it's
called.
Cinema on Instagram.
And that's how we do it here at Gem Hunt. Go check out the Mafu Cage, which weird name. Weird name for a film, I gotta say.
It was hard to figure out A, how to say it. I mean, they say it in the movie a bunch and then you get it. B, why? And then even, the print we watched just said deviation.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of different names. That's like what's I love the different names.
Yeah, when they changed the names to try to hit different markets.
Yeah, they were trying to get all these different.
They're trying to get it into the grindhouse scene with some of the other names. Anyways, go check it out, whatever the name is. What?
Your voice is changing.
No, don't.
I know.
Don't acknowledge it.
Because I've been smoking cigarettes.
Uh-oh. You're supposed to ignore that.
Been smoking crack. All right.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, you dumb shit.
Good night.
Fucking from dumb shit
to dumb shit.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt. Oh,